All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to look at the first seven verses together. Just follow along. I'll read out loud, starting verse 1. I'll read down to verse 7. We're going to look at this idea, our day of departure. Starting in verse number 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now that's the verse we looked at last week. We're going to start in verse 2 and go down to verse 7 this week, but we just keep reading here. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves or bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Now those verses, when you go back and I'll explain what they're talking about, it'll make more sense. But it's kind of poetic writing there. Starting in verse 5. When they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Let's review just for a few moments, and we'll get into today's lesson. We talked about the book of Ecclesiastes, and we said the book Ecclesiastes means what? The preacher. And so really, the book of Ecclesiastes is a long sermon. That's really what it is. King Solomon is preaching a sermon, and he's really just talking about the vanity of life. But not just that life itself is vain, because that's not correct. I mean, there's a lot of things to enjoy in life. We have family, we have friends, you know, there's love, there's a lot of things about life that's enjoyable. But he's talking about the vanity of life absent of the Lord. If that's all you got, if all you got is money and all you got is possessions, all you got is accumulation of things. Your garage is full, your attic is full, your basement is full, your closets are full, every cubbyhole is full, you rented a storage unit somewhere and those things are full. If that's all you have and nothing else, then it's a vain life. That's what he's saying. So there's vanity about just accumulating just for the sake of accumulating. I believe this, if there's any book of the Bible that applies to America, it's probably Ecclesiastes, because we are materialistic. I mean, we don't think this, because we think, well, we're still struggling with economy, we're still struggling with this, and there are struggles. But compared to a lot of countries, we still are a very wealthy nation, very wealthy. It's kind of funny. In our poverty, we're still above a lot of people. And so we do have a problem with materialism, because we accumulate things. You can tell this. You go to a yard sale. And sometimes you'll find great deals because they went out and paid $100 for something, and now they're selling for $10. And they hardly ever used it. Now, when they bought it, they thought, I got to have it. I've never had this, but this is what I always wanted. I got to buy this thing. And they bought it, used it one time, and they sell it next year in the garage sale. And so that's, I'm not saying it's wrong to have a garage sale. If you got something for $100, sell them for $10, let me know. I'll come by. I'm just simply saying the vanity of just using or seeking possessions as our fulfillment, absent of the Lord. Now, we come to Ecclesiastes. Where is King Solomon in his life? Towards the end of his life. That's kind of interesting, because this chapter 12 is really dealing with the end of life as well. And so he's writing at the end of his life, really about the end of life. And that's really kind of interesting as we get to the chapter 12 here. Now, last week we started with verse 1, that phrase there, remember now thy Creator. We said this, to remember is to acknowledge in a way that what changes? Your actions, your behavior. So when he says remember your Creator, he wasn't simply just saying, oh yeah, that's right, there is a God up there. He's saying, no, you got to think about it, and as you think about the Lord, then it should change the way you live. That's the idea there. And so he talked about remembering God in our youth, as young as age as possible. Remember God in the good days. We talked about that. And then we said, remember God before you have what? Regrets. You know what wisdom says? Wisdom says, let's think about the Lord before we do some things. Because you may do some things and then have all those regrets. It's better to serve the Lord without regrets. Second best, it's better to serve the Lord with regrets. The worst thing is don't serve the Lord. But it's the best thing is to serve Him without those type of regrets. So we talked about that in verse 1. Now we're moving down in verse 2. We're going to give you some thoughts here about our day of departure. It's talking about, basically, about dying. So let me show you the first thing. The first thing we're going to look at, number one, is this. We live today purposely. A little bit redundant from last week, a little bit. Look at verse 2, if you will. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. And he goes into this long description, which we'll get to in a moment. But he's looking at this idea about while it is day, and that's kind of the idea of verse 1 as well. So let me give you some thoughts about this. Ready? Too many times we waste the opportunities of today because we're so worried about the problems of tomorrow. I know you're busy writing these things down. Let me ask you this. Do you not understand that in our own life? Have we not gone through the same thing? We wasted today because we're so worried about tomorrow. We didn't enjoy today because always, oh, tomorrow's just going to happen. Oh, what's going to happen next week? And we get so caught up in the next day that this day is wasted. You know what's the worst part of that? When all those things you're worried about never happen. Not only did it not happen, but you wasted a whole day of worrying about it. You've heard me say this before. There's no reason to worry. If there's something you can do about it, then do it. If there's nothing you can do about it, then why are you going to worry? There's nothing you can do about it. Worry makes no sense. Worry is wasting our time, the time the Lord gives us. We see this in Matthew chapter 6. It says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, if you go back, we don't have it up here, but if you go back to previous verses, he's talking about food. He's talking about clothing. Those are two primary things, the things we worry about. How am I going to feed my family? Oh, how are we going to pay the rent? Oh, how are we going to pay these bills? And he's saying, if all you do is just worry about providing for yourself, and you're worrying, you're not living by faith. You're not trusting the Lord. Then he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put the Lord first in these things. And then look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, he's not saying you can't plan or prepare for tomorrow. Okay? He's not saying it's wrong to have a retirement or a pension or 401k. He's not saying those things are wrong. It's not wrong to have life insurance. It's not wrong to say, okay, you know, we're going to go on a vacation, so let's put some money aside. What he's saying is this, we just said a moment ago, sufficient for the day. In other words, you just got to have every little dot, I dotted, every T crossed. You're so worried about every little detail of the future that you're missing today. You're not trusting the Lord. Ultimately, your tomorrow has to be put in the Lord's hands. Because you have no idea what... Now, listen to me. You figure out all the plans you got. And how do you know they're ever going to come true? You say, well, in 20 years, I need to be prepared. Who says you got 20 years? You don't even know if you got 20 days. And so he's saying it's not wrong to plan and prepare as far as wisdom goes. But if you're so caught up in those things and you cannot live today for the Lord, you cannot enjoy today, you're missing what the Lord has for you. For many reasons, you don't even know what tomorrow holds, but he says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That constant worry and being so caught up in it that you never enjoy today. So we can say it again one more time. We waste too much of our time worrying about the future and complaining about the present, instead of enjoying the day the Lord has given us. Now we understand this, I hope. Today is a gift from the Lord. We have to learn it, learn to enjoy it, and thank God for it. Now watch this, because this is going to be a hard one to swallow. Even in the middle of winter, when it's freezing outside, still it's the day the Lord has given us. You can go inside, get warm, spend some time with your family, drink some hot chocolate. But we need to learn to enjoy it. You say, well, preacher, why is that? Let me give you a verse about it. Ready? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. That means good days, bad days. Days when your plans are going well, day when every plan doesn't work out. But we stop and say, this is the day the Lord has given me. I think it's a very wise thing to understand that. So we got to be careful we don't let the weather or job problems, political issues, dreams, that's, you know, you're daydreaming about tomorrow, you missed today, keep us from enjoying today. You know, sometimes maybe you just need to turn TV off or get away from the newspaper, the internet, whatever. If you can't, if you get so caught up in that thing that today, you know, oh, you're just fuming because of what's going on. I can't believe this is going on. This is just really makes me mad. If it's ruining today, sometimes you just got to get away from it and just say, okay, you know what? I'm wasting today because I'm so caught up in these things that I cannot even enjoy the day the Lord has given me. So let me put it one more way and then we'll move to point two. What we have to do is this. We have to learn the potential of the present and make the most out of every God-given moment. So what do you mean? Here's what I mean. We got to learn to... When I say live for now, I don't mean in a sinful way, and I don't mean in a foolish way. Okay, I don't mean spend all your money up today and don't worry about the bills tomorrow. That's foolishness. I don't mean go out and charge all your credit cards up because all I got is today. That's foolishness. We're not talking about that. Okay, but we're talking about in wisdom and learning to enjoy today. For example, you trust Christ now, and you live for Christ now, and you read your Bible now, and you pray now, and you're faithful now, and you're trying to build a Christian home now, and you're loving your family now, and you're trying to witness for Christ now. You're saying, okay, I'm not going to put it off to tomorrow. I'm not going to say someday or, oh, you know, when I get all these things taken care of, then I'll take my family and spend some time with them, or I'll love my family, or I'll invest my lives in people, or I'll live for the Lord. You say, no, I got to do it today. Today's the only day I got. I need to do it today. Well, the day the Lord has given me. And so we have to live today purposely. I'm going to give you the second major thought. And that is this. Learn to age gracefully. We'll go starting in verse 3 and ignore the comments. Ready? Start in verse number 3 again. In the day when the keepers... Now, I want you. I'm going to tell you what they're talking about. So when we read through it, it'll start making sense. In verse 3, verse 4, and verse 5, actually even down to verse 6, he's talking about people who get older, and as they get older, they begin decaying, and to the point of verse 6 and 7 when they die. That's the idea. This Ecclesiastes not only is a sermon, but it's called a poetic book of the Bible. So it's written in a poetic sense. A lot of word pictures here. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. He's talking about as you get older, you start trembling. And the strong men shall bow themselves. He's talking about your legs basically bowing as they're losing strength. And the grinders cease because they are few. He's talking about your teeth. You start losing your teeth. They start wearing down and so forth. Now today we get false ones, but back then they didn't have that opportunity. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Talking about losing your eyesight. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding... Now he's talking about losing your hearing. The grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. A lot of times older people are the ones getting up early in the morning for different reasons. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. You notice a lot of times as you get older, you got a lot more fears about things. And the almond tree shall flourish. Almond trees, when they get older and they get mature and flourish, supposed to have a silvery tint, like... People get older, have silvery tint to their hair. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Talking about dying. And that's so verses 3, 4, and 5 is dealing with old age here. That's the idea. Kind of Jewish poetry. So here's what we understand. I'm going to give you something you probably never thought about. Ready? Death comes to all men. Absent of the rapture, we all go by way of death. Did you know that? There's nothing you can do to stop it. Now, I think you can take care of yourself, and I don't think you ought to hurry or hasten death, but you can't stop it. It's going to happen. Sometimes it happens early in life. Sometimes it happens later in life. I think I told you, it was Wednesday maybe it was Sunday. We mentioned this to two ladies, the sisters, elderly sisters sitting in the back. She's talking about her, I think, son-in-law, who, 51 years of age, dropped over with a heart attack. 51. I mean, that's young, isn't it? I think 51 is young. There was a day when I didn't. Today, I do think 51 is young. Just dropped over. Some people die young. Some people die old. But we all go by way of death. Now, most of the time, we die old. Most people live to a longer life. That's the usual. Not always, but the usual. And so a wise person faces old age and prepares for it accordingly. Now, obviously there's like financial preparation, but we're talking about preparing ourselves in this life, first of all, to meet the Lord, but also as we go through this life, knowing that we're going to get older and older and eventually pass away. So what am I saying? What do I mean when I say learn to age gracefully? Here's what I mean. Ready? Learn to enjoy each period of life as you age. I'm going to give you some Forrest Gump theology. You ready? Ready? Here we go. Life is like a washing machine. There are specific cycles that you need to go through. Well, I can't. I guess. Yeah. Life is like a washing machine. That's nope. I'll tell you. The other day, I had my. This is just me. Okay, kind of my pickiness, I guess. I wash my own dress shirts. Okay, I have a reason for it. I put them aside. I just take care of myself. And so I had them down in the washer, and I went away, and it came back. By that time, it should have, I should be able to hang. I don't dry them. I always hang them up and let them air dry. Okay, just a weirdness about me. And so I went down there and went to pick them up, and I picked this shirt up, and all this water's pouring out. That's usually not a good sign, is it? Something didn't work right. I don't know what it is. Some cycle in that thing skipped. So I put it back in there, just went back to the rinse, the spin, hit it again. They spun out and they were fine. But that's life is like that. If you skip a cycle in life, you something's not right. It doesn't work out the way it should work out. And the same thing about our life. There are cycles to life that you have to properly go through if at the end of life, if things are going to be the way they should be. So, if a cycle is skipped, now we're talking about life now, or not used correctly, the end result will not be right. Now, I know you're sitting there saying, what are you talking about? Let me explain it this way. Here's what we do. We spend our teen years rushing to get in our 20s. Man, if I can just get my driver's license, if I can just get out of high school, boy, once I'm out of high school, I'm going to have so much freedom. I'm going to just enjoy life. And then what happens? You end up eventually getting into debt. You get cars. You get rent. All these things that you were enjoying as a person living at home, and now all of a sudden you got to pay all these things. Things change. So you spend your teens rushing into your 20s, so then you get in your 20s, you say, well, I got to get through these. So we try to rush into our 30s. And in our 30s, we try to rush into our 40s. And our 40s, we try to rush into our 50s. And our 50s, we try to rush into our 60s. And we get in our 60s, we say, boy, I wish I was a teenager again. You say, man, I wish I could go back. What we do is, if we don't spend each cycle, each period of life enjoying it, you're going to get to the end of your life, you're going to have a lot of regrets. But if you go through life this way, you know what? However age I am, which I am still in my 40s, by the way, just so you know that. I'm still in my 40s. Now, I want to enjoy my 40s, because sooner than I would like, I'm going to be in my 50s. Now, some will be there before me, but we won't mention 4 days. 4 days could be an eternity. So some will be there before me, but I want to enjoy my 40s, because when the 40s are over, then I only have the 50s. Now, if I spend my 50s saying, oh, I wish I was 40 again, then I'm going to someday be 60 saying, I wish I was 50. So I might as well enjoy my 50s while I have them. And by enjoying them, I mean take advantage of them. When you have little kids, learn to spend time with you. And then from little, they get up to bigger, don't they? Then they become teenagers. Then you put them in a box and you put them in a corner and try to stay away from them. So they become teenagers. And then next thing you know, they're growing up and they're getting married and they're having kids. And then you got grandkids. And then your grandkids are growing up, and you got to enjoy each cycle of life if you're going to enjoy life. If you're in 20s and 30s, you enjoy those times. You know what you find usually when you get older? The memories you enjoy are the times you spent in your younger years, a lot of times it's struggling. For example, if you've been married for a while, usually when you first got married, you didn't have much money. And what did you do? You got used furniture. You got you went to yard sales. You went to thrift stores. And you just pulled your money together. Now you might have a beautiful living room set. You might have a beautiful dining room set. That's not how it started. It started with what you could have. And now as you get older, you look back at those days and say, remember when we did this? Remember when we did that? Remember when we had to pinch our pennies together? And those are what make the memories that you enjoy later in life. Let me give you the third thought, because we've got to get done here in the next 5-10 minutes. Number three is this. We're just talking about our day of departure. Live life purposely. Learn to age gracefully. Here's the last thing. Leave this life prepared for eternity. Look at verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Now, not only do we understand that death comes to one and all, but there's a second thing that comes one and all. Every person will face two things. A lot of people say, well, death and taxes. That's not necessarily true. There's some people who never pay taxes. They just don't. For whatever. Sometimes rightfully, sometimes not so rightfully. Death, guess what the number two thing is? Judgment. Everyone dies, everyone faces the Lord. We see that in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 9. And it says, appointed to men once to die, but after this, after death, the judgment. So the most important thing you can do in this world is prepare for that world. It's the most important thing you can do. In fact, we can go a step further. It is being prepared for death that allows you to be prepared for life. A lot of times you don't enjoy life because you're not even prepared for death. Here's what I understand. My life is in the Lord's hands. And so I can go through life saying this. I don't may not like everything that happens. I may not always prefer, but I know this. My life is in His hands. He's in control. And so I trust Him. I have confidence in Him. And trust that He knows what He's doing. Yeah, they're doing whatever. Now, let me give you, this is an old illustration, but it's one of my favorite stories. Because I just think it teaches so much. As soon as I get started, you're already going to know the end of it, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. An old preacher years ago, his name was Dr. Rice, Dr. John R. Rice. Very famous preacher, probably in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Early 80s, he died in the early 80s. 60s and 70s primarily. He was an older man. This is probably late 70s, early 80s. He was already an older man. He was an evangelist, went around the country and preached. And he was at this hotel, and he got in the elevator, and he was, I don't know if he's going up or down, but he was in the elevator, and someone else got in the elevator, some thug. And when Dr. Rice was in there, and you know, he'd always wear his glasses down like on his nose like this, and the guy put a gun, took a handgun, and put in Dr. Rice's stomach, like in his belly, and he said, "Give me all your money, or I'm going to kill you." No, he said, "Give me all your money, I'm going to blow your brains out." That's what he said. "Give me all your money, I'm going to blow your brains out." And Dr. Rice kind of looked at him. You know, he's up in years. He said, "Son," he said, "two things. Number one," he said, "my brains aren't my belly." He said, "Number two, you can't scare me with heaven." Isn't that a great way to live? I don't know what happened with the money. I don't know. But I love the idea. You can't scare me with heaven. What's the worst thing that could happen to Dennis White? Well, you could die. And then what happens? I go to heaven. So how really bad is that? So sometimes you just got to have a perspective. And the way we can live in this life without freaking out, without going berserk, without losing our mind, is we understand what happens after this life. I'm prepared for death. I prepared for death at 17 when I accepted Christ as my Savior. Now, I'm not anxious to go on the next bus to heaven, but I'm not fretful about death because I know my life is secure with the Lord. Now, notice how the Apostle Paul talked about this in 2 Timothy. Here's what he said. And this he wrote this not long before he was martyred. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Here's what he said. "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." Now, I say this, and I'm not trying to be crass when I say it. This is an observation. I've not done many weddings. Most time when people ask me, I refuse. There's different reasons I refuse, but most of them, I'm not anxious to do a lot of weddings because I don't like standing up and saying what the Lord has joined together, because a lot of times the Lord isn't joining them together. They're just doing their own thing. They haven't sought the Lord. It has nothing to do with the Lord's will. They're just doing what they want. And I don't like to rubber stamp something that and say that it's of God when it's not. But in a funeral, I'll do almost anyone's funeral. Because I can stand up and say, honestly, whoever's in that casket, I'd say this. If they could say one more thing, here's what they'd say. Trust Christ. If you're in heaven, you want people to be in heaven with you. If you're in hell, you don't want anyone to be there. They want you to get saved. And I can easily talk to people at a funeral, and I try to say it politely, but I have no problem doing funerals. I'm willing to do any funeral. Now, in the funerals I've been to, whether I've done the funeral or been at the funeral, here's what you notice. If the person who passed away was a born-again believer, and if it's populated, the people, there are other born-again believers, there's sorrow, but there's joy mixed with that sorrow. Because they know this. It's like having a family member moving to the other side of the world. Okay, you may not get to talk to them. I know today conveniences, telephone and such, but if you imagine before all the conveniences, you may never see them again, you may never talk to them, but you know that they're there. You know they're safe. And when a loved one goes on to heaven, you may sorrow because they're not with you, but you know that they're safe with the Lord. But I've been at other funerals and done other funerals when that's not been true. The person here in the casket is not saved. Or, even if they are saved, some of the people out there, sometimes a lot of the people out there are not saved. They have no hope of ever seeing this person again. And you watch them. Sometimes they try to pull the body out of the casket. They're weeping. They're wailing. They're a sorrow without any hope. Now, they're not prepared for eternity. And that's what the Bible is always telling us. You need to prepare now. Before death comes, say, well, when I die, I'll let the Lord figure it out. Let me tell you, the Lord's already figured it out. Those with Christ go to heaven. Those without Christ go to an eternal hell. That's already the Lord's decision. It's your decision what you do with Christ. So we leave this life prepared for eternity, which gives us our last statement, which is actually a question. Are you living your life now in preparation for your day of departure? It will happen. Absent the rapture, every one of us will go by way of death. And it's up to us to prepare now for that.